we're going to, you know, we're going to reopen, but we're going to space everybody out. You know, we're only going to have siblings sit with each other, whatever, you know, but come up with a game plan, put it on paper, send it to parents so that they know and see that you're seriously committed to their student safety, and then allow them the freedom to give you feedback. I know some youth workers don't really like hearing from parents. Suck it up.
Helping student ministry leaders grow themselves, their students, and their community in Christ. This is First Priority. Now, here are your hosts, Steve Cherifo and Brad Skelling.
Hey, Brad, how are we doing?
I'm doing very well. You too?
Yeah, man. Excited for another discussion around the First Priority world and the things that we're called to and the things that we're doing on a daily basis.
I am as well. We have with us today Wilson Clark, who is our new coordinator down in the Orlando area. He lives just south of Orlando. And we're talking about student ministry during and leaving the current shelter in place orders. So pretty relevant to the moment, and excited for him to give us a tip on just doing student ministry during this moment.
And I love that this is a follow-up to our discussion last week with Bryson out of the Nashville area, and can't wait to hear Wilson's perspective as well. So if you're ready, let's dive into your discussion.
Let's do it. Well, I have the honor today of being here with Wilson Clark. Welcome, Wilson.
Hey,
it's good to have
Brad.
You on the podcast today.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm excited.
Yeah, Wilson, just for our audience, you are coming to us from the Central Florida area down there.
Yep.
You've been in student ministry for a long, long time.
Yep.
But then you and Mark Roberts got together and heard about First Priority, and the rest is history, as you say. But introduce yourself a little bit and tell our audience about who you are, what you've been doing, and about your heart for students in the Lord.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, again, thanks, Brad, for having me on. I'm excited. I grew up in the Tampa area. So I am a native Floridian, and I'm a pastor's kid. So I was great at getting into trouble and getting out of trouble at the same time growing up. And I was like a master at sneaking out of any service, you know, like especially children's church. I would wait till like a crowd gathered by the front pickup door, and then I would just like sneak my way out. And so I had a fun childhood for sure. But yeah, I grew up a PK. It was my adolescent years that I really began to be drawn to being in ministry in some capacity. You know, I just didn't know what, but I knew that the Lord was leading me to be in ministry. And you know, fast forward into my my early 20s, late teens, early 20s, and I really felt the Lord lead me to be in student ministry full time. And so I just dove right in. I was blessed to start interning at a church in Tampa, big church in Tampa. And, you know, not a lot of guys and girls have the opportunity to, you know, that their first church be a mega church, but it was mine.
Sure.
And I learned a lot of valuable lessons there, and had the opportunity and the privilege to minister to a lot of students, not just in Tampa, but we ended up starting a campus out in the Ruskin area, which is Apollo Beach. And then I spent some time up here in the Orlando area at Celebration. And so I just had a good time there. And from, you know, around 2009 was when I really started getting involved in interning. And then around 2011, we started full-time ministry on a staff position. So, yeah. So then that the Lord took my wife and I, and we've served in churches, both big and small. We've been blessed to, you know, be at a couple of churches and have faithful ministry, and we've had a great time. I have, as I said, I have a wife, thankfully. I'm surprised that she agreed to marry me. We have three kids. all under the age of 4, and our oldest just turned 4. So we have a very, very busy home.
Yes, but, you do.
Yeah, we do. A very busy home. So our oldest is, like I said, he's 4. Our middle is, he's 2. And then our youngest, she is 7 months.
Wow.
So thankfully she sleeps pretty good at nighttime. The other two did not. So, you know, God's blessed us with that.
Ask what you're doing during quarantine. You're just keeping your hands busy with the three littles.
Oh man, it's wonderful. It's definitely a patience tester. I saw this funny video a few days ago of, it was like a little clip of, you know, the kids staying at grandma and grandpa's post, coronavirus. And it's just mom and dad like pull up in a truck and then like literally throw the kids out of the truck, you know, with right? bags and pillows, and then speed off. And grandma and grandpa and the driver are like, what is going on? You know, I'm sure that my wife and I have talked about, you know, we're definitely going to be getting away once this is over. We're going to call a grandparent and have them come stay over. But anyway, right. Yeah, so I've been blessed. My wife and I have been blessed to be involved in student ministry. One of the reasons why, you know, a lot of people, you know, have more theologically sound reasons as to, you know, why they feel led to do student ministry. Mine is pretty simple. I had the privilege of knowing a husband and wife who stepped up to lead students at a church that I was attending in middle school. My parents were going through a divorce. It was really nasty. And they just did a wonderful job of showing Christ to me and so many other kids. And seeing what impact they had on students' lives then really moved me to, and kind of for me cemented, you know, I want to do the same thing for another student. And so as I've grown in my faith and grown in my understanding of God's love for his creation, it's just further cemented why I believe students are so important to not only to the church, but to Jesus' heart. And so, so for me, it's pretty simple. It's, you know, I have for the last decade or so only wanted to see kids understand the depth of God's love for them and watch them communicate that with other people.
So cool.
Yeah.
I didn't prep you for this question, but tell me about a favorite moment you've had over the past 10 years in student ministry. What's something that you look back on and say, man, that's it right there.
Yeah. So there's a favorite moment. So there's a couple. We were working at a church in St. Petersburg. And the church that we were in, like the location was perfect. It was literally right smack in the middle of a neighborhood. And so all of my kids were neighborhood kids. And there were a couple kids in particular who they only came to youth. They didn't come on Sundays to the actual service. There's one student in particular, the experience and that both my wife and I had with this student really, even to this day, has just left a very strong mark on our heart. So this student loved art, very much an artistic, creative student, but... Sure. Very much an introverted student where they didn't really enjoy talking. If they had a choice, they probably at the beginning, if they had a choice, they probably would have rather not come. Right. But their parents lived right across the street from the church. And they're like, listen, you know, you're not doing anything. Just go hang out. If you like it, then you can decide if you want to go back or not. That's what it is. So the student starts coming to youth, and my wife and the student made a very strong connection. My wife is very creative, very artistic. She's musically inclined, and the student was as well. And so they just immediately hit it off. And there was a moment in particular. We were there close to 2 years at the time that this happened. And this student started coming routinely. They like started getting very involved. And this student wrote a letter to my wife. And within the letter, it clearly communicated like some of the inner struggle that this student was having, and that, you know, dealing with depression and suicidal thoughts and that sort of thing. And what was communicated, it just really stood out to us. The what we didn't see was our role and our, and just the way that we loved this student and cared for this student, wasn't, you couldn't see any outward, like the student would never come up and just be like, hey, you know, thank you guys so much, you're awesome, I'm glad that we get to spend time together, that sort of thing. So it was one of those moments where in this letter, it was, her heart was just poured out, and it really solidified for us why we're doing what we're doing. And the cool thing is, it's been several years since, and this student and my wife are still pen pals. And so they still write each other. And
that's very nice.
Yeah. And so it was one of those moments where, you know, you, especially working in youth ministry, sometimes you wonder, like, is this getting across? You know, like the amount of hours that I'm spending investing and trying to communicate not only the love of that God has for these students, but the love that we have for them as well. You know, is it getting through? And to finally see, you know, just the depths of inner turmoil that this student in particular was having, but that we reestablished a love for Christ just simply because we were there and we cared for this student. And so that was one of probably the main solidifiers for us. Another one, and I won't go too much longer, but another one was, I had a student who, he was one of those where he was on the fence and he'd dive in and then he'd disappear and then he'd come back and he'd dive in and then he'd disappear. And I remember one night he showed up and he'd been coming for a few weeks and that night we had a guest speaker and a different worship band was in, and we had like these hip hop artists that came in, like it was a big kind of thing. And so this student, like he tells me, you know, after the message, he was like, hey, you know, can I talk with you a little bit? And I was like, yeah, of course, man. You know? And so, we had, at the church that we were at that time, still in St. Pete, we had a bus that we would take kids, like if kids, because most of our kids were neighborhood kids, they'd like, you know, walk or come to church, riding their bike or skateboard or whatever. And we would typically take them home at nighttime. And so, once it got dark. And so this student, he lived in the area, but he was kind of farther away. So, you know, we would take him and drop him off at his house and then come back to the church. So I'm dropping him off at his house and he's like, hey, Pastor Wilson, I have something that I want to give you. Is it okay if I run in and grab it? And I was like, yeah, of course, man. And so he goes inside and like, while I'm sitting in the bus, I'm thinking like, okay, is it drugs? Like, what is, you know, what should I expect right now?
Idea, right?
Exactly. And so, so I'm sitting there waiting and I'm just praying, I'm like, God, please don't let it be drugs. I don't want to, you know, walk down that road. And I'd totally take him if it was drugs. I'd be like, yeah, man, you know, I'll take him. I'll figure out what to do with them. And so anyway, so he comes back and he brings this box full of explicit magazines. And he tells me, he says, you know, this is something that I've struggled with for years. Wow. And, you know, after the message tonight, I just realized that this is something that I have to give up. And it was just, again, it was one of those moments, and I've had a lot of them, thankfully, but it was just one of those moments where, again, you see a student and it clicks, you know, like that yep. God is not just interested in them just coming to church, but actually them like walking with him and allowing him to flesh out those sinful things, you know? Yep. And, and so anyway, so those are just a couple.
Cool.
We've been privileged to have some wonderful kids that we've walked with and that we still are in contact with and love, you know, talking mm-hmm. to today. So
it's very cool. Very cool. And I know we're obviously in a different moment right now, right? With quarantines, shelter in place. I've seen youth pastors talking in some of the Facebook groups and things of that nature about, you know, hey, our crowd is down. Those kids who were coming for the food and the fun aren't showing up anymore. You know, we've got the us four no more thing going on because that's all they're getting on a Zoom call. There's a lot of youth pastors and ministers just, yeah, what do I do in this moment? What is one tip that you would give to youth pastors right now as they navigate COVID and leading out of COVID?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, one of the things that I think should be a priority, especially because, you know, everything is really up in the air right now. And I heard recently that in a press conference that they think that this might come back in the fall, you know, so everything is just, it's just up in the air. And,
yes,
you know, I think for a lot of churches, you know, if you're going to reopen, if you're a youth worker in any capacity, the first thing that I would strongly encourage you do is before you decide to have an event or open your doors, you need to have a conversation with parents. And the reason I think is that's like of first importance is because parents are going to be, I think, moving forward, very cautious about the types of environment that their students are going to be in. And so sure. I think student workers need to, even if it's like put a survey together and send out to parents, you know, and have it kind of like multi-layered. So where you're asking specific questions, you know, about, you know, like if we were to reopen, what type of gatherings would you be comfortable sending your student to, right? Like, are you okay if, you know, if you're a group, if your student ministry is like 50, 60 kids, are your parents going to be okay with their students coming back to that, you know, quote unquote, large gathering? Or is it moving everything to a small group setting? You know, where you're, you know, maybe 6-7 kids and that's what it looks like for, you know, into the future or continued online engagement, you know? So I think that those are the types of conversations that you need to have with parents. And the reality is if church isn't a priority for a parent, it's not going to be a priority for a student. So if you reopen, and your parents are well on the fence and not interested at all for their student to go back, not just to church, but in a larger group setting, you need to be willing to bend, and communicate that, you know, we want to make sure we're going above and beyond to think of the safety of your student. But more than that, we want to make sure that we're only doing what you're comfortable with us doing. So like, you know, if you do reopen and you send out a survey, ask them what kind of safety measures, you know, do you want do you want everybody wearing masks or at least the volunteers, you know, like, for example, we had, pretty much every, whenever like we would go to any youth ministry or go check out a youth ministry or in some of the ministries that I've run, I would always set up a check-in station. And so students would come in, you know, they type out their name, they'd get a little sticker and that sort of thing. You know, like, do you nix that? Because all these students are coming and touching and you get all sorts of germs and everything. You know, so like,
sure.
just I would encourage a student worker to kind of you know, play the curious toddler and just continue to ask questions as it relates to what they would be comfortable with allowing their student to immediately participate in.
Sure.
Yeah. So that, I mean, that's, I think, of first importance for me. If I were leading a youth ministry today, that would be the first thing I would do. Reach out to parents. Ask those lines of questions. And really, even further than that, before you even do that, I would come up with a strategy. You know, put something down on paper and then submit it to parents. Like, hey, you know, we're going to reopen, but we're going to space everybody out. You know, we're only going to have siblings sit with each other, whatever, you know, but come up with a game plan, put it on paper, send it to parents so that they know and see that you're seriously committed to their student safety, and then allow them the freedom to give you feedback. I know some youth workers don't really like hearing from parents. Suck it up. You know, that's your, you know, like that's your life. I've learned that, man. Like, yeah, some parents don't really like listening to, because some might be really overcritical. But at the end of the day, they're the ones who spend the most time with your student, you know, and you need to honor and respect that. And so, that's what I would do. I would, before you send out a survey, come up with a game plan on what it's going to look like, and then send it to parents, and then allow them to provide you feedback. And those parents who are providing really, really great critical feedback, I would nudge up against them and continue just asking them questions for as long as their student is in your student ministry. You know, it doesn't have to be COVID-19 related. Obviously, hopefully this will end one day, but just continue to dive into that relationship with those parents and use them as a resource to help you win in your ministry.
Yep. Yeah. I'm thinking about my family in this situation as you're talking. I have a 15 and 16 year old daughters.
Right.
Both of them love the Lord and are very eager to get back to youth group. Mm-hmm. But one of them enjoys getting on the Zoom. Like, they do an Instagram Wednesday night, you know, it's live. They go live on the student's account.
Right.
And then we do a Zoom small group afterwards. And one of them enjoys getting on the Zoom. The other one does not.
Yeah.
Both of them are excited to go back to small group in person. They both love their small groups. They love their small group leaders. But one just doesn't want to show up. Like, I went up to her room after kind of during the small group time the other day, and her phone was sitting on the bed, and she was sitting there reading a book with the Zoom link going on. She's like, I really don't want to be on Zoom with these, you know, that's just her personality.
Right. Right.
And it reminded me of when, you know, get the feedback, because you don't know what's being talked about in the homes. You don't know why, even if a parent does support, and we do push our daughters to stay engaged relationally.
Right.
Sometimes it's just personality. Sometimes it is the parents aren't pushing it. So you don't really know until you ask, you know, what's going on in those homes.
Yep.
So to encourage the parents and to give you feedback. And then the next part is crucial, to actually listen to the feedback, to say, hey, here's the feedback we got, and we are changing things around and making it safer, or doing this or doing that because you as parents said this,
right?
I think is key as well, because I would never think, you know, my youth pastor is young and nuts, but I know that I was young and nuts. Now, being a parent and looking back at what I did when I was in my 20s as a youth pastor, I'm did all the parents let me do that?
Right.
I wouldn't let me do that. Why? But I fully expected all the parents to let me do that. And maybe they didn't know or whatever, but yeah, just to engage. I love that. To engage the parents, put it on paper, gather feedback, and make those adjustments. Cause we're all in the unknown. I know my wife and I too, we sit here talking about, what's this going to be like this fall? Are they going back to school? Is it going to be online school? Nobody knows.
Right. Exactly.
We're all sitting here analyzing it, trying to figure out what's going to happen. And yeah.
Yeah. And that's the big thing too. I think, you know, for a lot of youth workers, you know, my wife and I have been talking about this a lot lately, is that, you know, you have churches, wonderful churches. Let me preface by saying wonderful churches who spend a lot of time, energy, and effort into creating environments that are attractive to students, right? Mm-hmm. And I think the beautiful thing about this, although what's happening in the world is horrible and people are passing away, I think the good thing that has come out of this for the church is we're having to take a step back and reevaluate how we engage with people. And I think mm-hmm. that's going to be the biggest part of this moving forward as well, you know? So all of that, you know, all of that time that's been spent in trying to create, I mean, I remember when, like, growing up, the church that I attended, in my teen years, like, dude, our services were in literally like a warehouse behind the church. The AC, like, rarely did it ever work. And in Florida, you know, it's got a tin roof, so it's like 110 degrees in there. And all the students, like, we could care less about all of that glitz and glam. We just wanted to be in there. And the student pastor, you know, he and his wife, we loved them. They weren't great communicators. He was as Alabamian as they come, you know, but what was important to us was knowing that they cared and that they genuinely wanted us to know about Jesus. So yeah, mm-hmm. I think moving forward, all of that stuff needs to be reevaluated. And like you're saying, you know, as a youth worker, I should 100%, again, reach out to parent, build that relationship, and then ask them, like, hey, what are you comfortable with? You know, you know, like Brad, like you know, like you're saying, you have kids who some who want to dive right in, others who are like, mm-hmm. I could care less right now, you know?
Yep.
And I think that's just a good thing for youth workers to be mindful of, that, you know, there are some kids who just are on the fence again, or now on the fence, and you need to reevaluate what you're doing to, you know, share Christ with that student that brings them back in, you know?
Yep.
And yeah, I think I'm kind of excited for the church, to be honest with you. I think that this is a wonderful opportunity for a lot of churches to reevaluate, you know, how they engage people, and especially youth. And, you know, for us in youth ministry, I saw recently here in Orlando, there's a few schools that have come out and said that, you know, if we are still in lockdown, or if this resurfaces in the fall, we have the resources and the plans in place to continue for students to just do online school and not be in person, you know?
Yep.
And so who knows what's going to come of this, but yeah, I think it's a wonderful time for the church, you know, to reevaluate. And again, if you're a youth pastor and you're not a fan of, like, reaching out to parents, just suck it up, because you're going to have to.
That's the word of the day right there, friends.
Word of the day. Just suck it up. I'll tell you, this is funny. I had some students who, we were listening to, I put on, when Kanye West, you know, new album came out, put it on, and it was loud. And some of the students, they looked at me, they were like, it's too loud, turn it down. I said, guys, you're teenagers, suck it up. And, needless to say, the next day I had to go to the senior pastor's office, and he was like, do you think that was a bit crass? I'm like, you know what? You're right.
Oh, that's awesome. You never do know who you're dealing with, do you?
Exactly right.
Oh, that's too good. That's too good. Well, I appreciate the time. I appreciate the insight and the tips. You got any parting words for our audience?
Yeah, thank you guys. Again, Brad, thanks so much for allowing me to come on. If you are listening, go check out all of our social media. Is First Priority here. Our handlebar is ORL, and that's on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. You can find us pretty much anywhere. We just don't have Snapchat because that's weird. So anyways, yeah, find us on Twitter and go support your local church by loving their pastor and your youth worker.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, thank you for your time. Thank you for your wisdom. And look forward to people connecting with you online.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Brad. Have a great day, buddy.
Thank you. You too.
Well, Brad, that was well said and well done. Did you have a moment in it that you were really moved or that Wilson really caught your attention?
Well, I'm a Wilson fan anyway. Like I said, he's getting first priority started down there in the Central Florida region. And so pretty excited about that. But, you know, he's been in student ministry for a long time, so he just brings a really good perspective. And, you know, the tip he gave about simply communicating with your parents and asking them where they're at. There are more conversations happening in homes right now than ever before, because everybody's in their home more now than ever before. And so just engage the families and do student ministry a little bit differently. You know, I feel like early on, everybody continued to try to just do everything online. And it's just a moment to do a shift and maybe get back to it. You know, some of the places are lifting and we'll see where this goes. But take that subtle shift, engage the parents and see where the conversation takes you.
Yeah, not to throw stones at those of us who were early in youth ministry, but I think the older I got in serving youth ministry, the more I came to an understanding of what it meant to partner with parents.
Mm-hmm.
And to really serve them meant serving the student. And admittedly, sometimes I had to be reminded of that when I was a little bit younger. So great. Yep. For not only Wilson's tenure, but his willingness to say, hey, here's where we are now, but there's also a place that we're going to go because this too shall pass. So good conversation. That's right. Today.
Great conversation. So hope it was beneficial to you listening today. Appreciate you following along with us. And as always, give it a share, give it a like, give it a follow. And send it along,
sure,
to somebody.
Comment,
else.
Follow.
Need to hear what we have to say.
You're welcome, Brad. There was just, you know, your radiant voice just was not very happy today, so I was just helping you out.
Is it not happy?
It is now. Nice job.
You always cheer me up.
Well, Brad, that's another podcast. I can't wait for the next one. Thanks for the work that you do.
Sounds good. See you next week.
All right, man. Peace.